Yes. Good boy.
Didn't Hashem order Moshe to make the Mizbeach wood and copper?
Correct.
So how come Shelem HaMelech's Mizbeach was a stone? Not wood and copper.
Because like, that's what Hashem wanted.
Hashem wanted it.
But apparently for Shlomo, Hashem wanted stone Mizbeach.
Why is that in the text? It says make it
yeah, there were Nevi'im there. There were prophets there.
Good morning, Chaim.
Exactly. There were prophets.
Yeah. No good.
There are prophets. Bring a note exactly. Back.
I'm thinking maybe that's why Beit HaMikdash got destroyed because of this.
No. There was a prophet for, you know, this Beit HaMikdash should be different.
Yeah.
Did the Torah anticipate stone? It talks about not using.
The Torah says three times stone, right? That's what we said yesterday. Amar Rav Yosef. We're on Samach Beis Amud Aleph. No, it's okay. Rav Yosef said, the Gemara had said that Rav Yosef earlier had said the reason why in the days of Shlomo, in the days of the second temple, they added another four amos to the south and to the west, to make the Mizbeach a total of 32 by 32 amos, because in the times of Shlomo it was 28 by 28. And the reason why they did that was because they didn't have the godly fire to help in the burning of the sacrifices, so they didn't have the same capacity as what they needed. So they needed more capacity. But then Rav Yosef changed his mind. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, because apparently Rav Yosef, he had forgotten his learning, and then he remembered. He said, no, the reason why they added to the Mizbeach is not because in the second temple they didn't have help from the godly fire. But Lav Hainu D'Tanya, isn't it because of what we learned in a Braisa? The Braisa says that when they were building the second temple, the verse says, Vayachinuus. They prepared the Mizbeach on where it was prepared for, which means, says the Braisa, that only at the second temple was it revealed to them the full measure of where, of space that's appropriate for Mizbeach. So apparently in the days of Shlomo, they made a Mizbeach 28 by 28, but they didn't know that they could have been bigger. And at the times of the second temple, they figured out that really you could make a Mizbeach, as we'll see, up to 60 amos. So the Gemara asks a question similar to what Baruch asked. Vaksev, how could you say that in the second temple they discovered that they had more space for a Mizbeach? The verse says that David HaMelech tells Shlomo, HaKol b'chsav miyad Hashem olai yiskil, kol malachus ha-tavnis, that Hashem revealed through prophecy the exact picture of what the Beis HaMikdash looks like. And that prophecy was written down, and David gave what was written down to Shlomo. So Hashem dictated everything to Shlomo of what it's supposed to look like. So how could it be that Shlomo is off? He makes it 28 by 28, but really it's supposed to be 60, or it's supposed to be 32 by 32. Elam Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, prophetically, it wasn't revealed to them at the times of the second temple that they had more space, but rather, when they were interpreting the Psukim, they now understood the Pasuk better. Kra Ashkach V'darush, they found a Pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech had not understood correctly, but they did understand it, and they expounded upon it. The verse says, "Vayomer David." David says, "Zehu Beis Hashem Elokim." This is the house of God. The Zem Mizbeach LoOlal Yisrael, and this is the altar as an for Olos for the Jewish people. So you see that the verse is linking Beis Hashem Elokim to Mizbeach. So in the times of the second temple, the rabbis at that time interpreted the verse. And they explained, Ki bayis. The verse is saying that the Mizbeach should be like the building, like the Heichal. So So my bias, shishim amos, just like the heichal, is 60 amos long and 20 amos wide. Af mizbeach shishim amos. To tell you that the mizbeach really could be 60 amos long. I guess by 20. But once you know that it could be 60, actually it has to be 60 by 60 because it says ravua. It says it has to be squared. So the mizbeach could be 60. So in the days of Shlomo, he didn't interpret this pasuk this way. In the days of Shlomo, he only had Hakol Bichsav Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskil. He only had the plans that were given through prophecy, and that didn't specify that the mizbeach could be 60 amos. But later in the times of the Second Temple, they said, "You know, let's make it bigger because we now realize from a verse that the mizbeach could be 60 amos." We don't have to leave the Mizbeach 28 Amos the way Shlomo HaMelech made it.
It's true.
Isn't that interesting? So you see the power of learning Torah. When you're learning Torah, you can discover through a pasuk and understanding that even the smartest person may not have had. That's a great idea, great point.
They kept Sefer Torahs in the Heichal.
There was a Sefer Torah, not in the Heichal, but in the Kodesh HaKodashim. It was a Sefer Torah.
So what was inside the Heichal?
The Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach HaPnimi.
So all the instruments to run the Beit HaMikdash, is that right?
No, three utensils. The Menorah, the table, and the golden altar. So the Gemara now asks, Vishlama Bayis, okay. I understand how when it came time for the Second Temple, they could rebuild the building, the Heichal, the courtyards. Minkara Tsurasa, even if the Romans had destroyed the temple, but probably there was something left out of the foundation, so they could see through the foundations where it goes. Elamiz Beach Minayadi. How did they know where to place the Mizbeach? Okay, maybe they had interpreted that the Mizbeach could be 60 Amos, but how did they know the location of the Mizbeach? Amar Belazar, Belazar gave one answer. We'll see a bunch of answers. Belazar says, Rome Mizbeach Banui, when they came, they saw a vision of a built Mizbeach, umichol asara gadol omenu makrivalov, with the great angel Michael offering sacrifices on it. In other words, there is a parallel world. So whatever exists on this world, there's a parallel spiritual world. So they saw that spiritual world, the spiritual altar with a spiritual high priest, the main angel, the angel Michael, and the angel Michael offering sacrifices on this altar. So they said, okay, this is the spot. Why did God show us this vision here? Because this is the spot where the physical altar should go. That was the answer of Rabbi Lazar. The answer of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha is Ephro Shel Yitzchak Ro. They saw the ash of Yitzchak Shemunach Bo'osel Makom in that place. We know that the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, happened on Temple Mount. And where did it happen? It happened where that exact location of the Mizbeach is. So even though Yitzchak wasn't ultimately burned, it was the sheep burned in his place. But that sheep, the ashes of that sheep, are called the ashes of Yitzchak. So they saw those ashes. They knew that was the spot where the Mizbeach should be. Third possibility, Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar, Mikal Abayis Kulo Erichu Reach Ktoras, as they're walking around the Temple Mount, they smell the smell of Ktoret, because the smell of the spices used to waft, it used to spread throughout the Temple Mount. But Misham, when they got to the spot where the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the outer altar, is supposed to be, Herichu Reach Evarim, they smelled the smell of burned limbs, because that was the spot of the Mizbeach. And a fourth answer, which is how the Rambam actually rules, Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Chanan says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Shlosh Neviim Alu Iman Min Agola. There were three prophets who were still with them, and they came with them from the exile. Echad Sheid Lahem Alam Mizbeach. One testified that in fact the Mizbeach could be bigger than the 28 Amos that Shlomo made. It could be 60 Amos. Second one told them the exact location of the altar. What did the third one tell them? He said, listen, even before the temple actually goes up, you can already offer karbanos because the sanctity of the temple is eternal. Once it was consecrated, so once you put the mizbeach up, you can already start offering the karbanos. Bimas Nisa Tana, in a brisa we have a similar idea. The Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov says, how'd they know where to place the outer altar? Shlosh Nevi'im Alui Maim in Agola, and they came to Israel to rebuild the temple. Three prophets came with them from Babylonia, from exile. Echad Sheyed Lehem and Amizbeach. One testified for them for the exact location of the altar. I'm sorry, one testified about the altar, how big it could be, that it could be 30, 60 amos, the Al-Makom HaMizbeach, and he also testified for the location of the altar. The second, Ve'echad She'ed Lehem Shemakri V'nafal Pishen Bayis, the second testified that they could already start the sacrifices before they put up the walls of the temple, because the temple sanctity is still lasting. Ve'echad, and the third, She'ed Lehem, we testified Al HaTorah She'tikase V'ashuris. According to the way Rashi explains this, during the times of the first temple, the holy writings were in a different set of letters. The letters that were used were Ksav Ivri. But when we came to the second temple, then there was a prophetic revelation that we should move from using Ksav Ivri to using Ksav Ashuris, our block letters that we have. And that came from a prophet. And that prophet was there when they began the second temple. No, it was a different prophet. Chagai Zechariah Malachi, one of the three of them.
Do you know what the other letters look like?
Yeah, sure.
Rabbi, was it actual Hebrew or was it Aramaic?
No, it was Hebrew, but different shaped letters. When you go to Israel and you see ancient manuscripts, the fragments, it's in the Ksav Ivri. Things from the first temple era, like the sign and in the tunnel of Yer David, when the two groups of diggers met each other, that was in Ksav Ivri. There, a lot of things are in Ksav Ivri. Okay, Tana Rabbana. Now we talk about the shape of the Mizbeach. We learned in a Braisa. Karen, the ramp of the, I'm sorry, the corners of the Mizbeach. The Kevesh, the ramp of the Mizbeach. The Yesod, the base on the very bottom of the Mizbeach. The Ribua, and the fact that the Mizbeach has to be a square. Ma'akvin, these are absolute requirements. If there's no ramp, or if the ramp is damaged, the Mizbeach's no good, and you can't do any service. However, Midas Arko, the exact dimensions of how long it is, that it be 28 by 28 amos, or 32 by 32 amos, midas rachbo, how wide it is, midas komaso, the height, that it be 10 amos tall, eimakvin, that's not necessary. You could have a mizbeach that's 5 amos tall, and it's 5 amos long and 5 amos wide. The dimensions of width and length and height are not required. Well, it still will have to be a square.
But you can just have it.
But it doesn't have to be 28 by 28.
Rabbi, we learned that the Mishkan had to be perfectly, in good shape.
Okay. Now, the Mizbeach.
The Mizbeach, I mean. Right. Now you're talking about the ramp, too, here.
Right. It's also part of the Mizbeach, that's right. Minahani Mili, how do we know these laws? Rav Huna explained. In regards to the corners, the boxes on each corner, and the ramp, and the bottom base, and the square. Amar Kra, the Pasuk mentions about them the word HaMizbeach, the altar. So saying the altar is to say it must be this way for it to be an altar. It says about the corner, Umin Adam Yitain Al Karnos HaMizbeach. It says about the ramp, the Zos Tarasa Mincha HaKrevel Sabnei Aron Lifnei Hashem El Pnei HaMizbeach. Pnei HaMizbeach, the face of the Mizbeach, as we'll see, is a reference to the ramp. The bottom base, as called Amal Yishpoch El Yisod HaMizbeach. And in terms of square, it says Ravua Yeh HaMizbeach. So HaMizbeach, the altar, meaning it must be this way. Kalmakum Shenamer HaMizbeach. Wherever it says the altar HaMizbeach LaAkiv, it means these aspects are absolutely required. Now on the Mizbeach, we're going to see there was also something called the Michbar. And the Karkov. So this is a drawing. They used to draw on the Mizbeach. There was a protrusion on the wall of the Mizbeach, and they would draw on this protrusion flowers and shoots and screens. So El Me'ata, if you're going to say anytime it says HaMizbeach, it's required. Kiyor, the drawings that were on the protrusion above the middle of the Mizbeach. L'Rebbe. That's how Rebbe explains the word Karkov. Or Sovev, which is the middle ledge, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. That's how he explains the word Karkov. HaChanami D'Ma'akev, are those things also required? Because it says V'asisalo Michbar, Ma'aser reshes nechoshes, v'nasata oso, make this michbar, this screen of copper that Moshe Rabbeinu makes to take the place of what was later the Chut HaSikra. V'nasata oso tachas karkov ha-mizbeach milmata, put it under the karkov of the mizbeach, underneath. V'tanyu, look in the Brisa, izehu karkov. Listen to the words, karkov ha-mizbeach. What's Karkov? Rabbi Omer Zekir, Rabbi says this was all sorts of drawings on the Mizbeach, on a protrusion. And Rabbi Omer Zekir, that's what we call the Sovev, the ledge going around the middle. So according to these opinions, are that also required? Because it says HaMizbeach, if there's no Sovev, the Mizbeach would be no good. If there are no drawings, the Mizbeach would be no good. Yes, in. Exactly right. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa. The Braisa is in Masechet Sukkah. It tells a sad story. There was once a priest who was not loyal to the Torah. So since he was a Tzaduki, he was a Sadduki, so instead of taking the water and pouring it on the corner of the Mizbeach, where it's supposed to go on Sukkot, the Nisach HaMayim, he took the water and he poured it out on the floor, because he didn't want to pour it on the Mizbeach, because it's not an apostle. He didn't believe it. So everyone was so upset, they stoned him with their estrogim. The people in the Beit HaMikdash threw their estrogim at him. Also, Hayom, when they threw those estrogim, that day, Nifkam HaKerem Mizbeach, the corner of the Mizbeach got damaged, because of all the estrogim thrown at it. So heviu bul shel melach v'satmu. So they brought a fistful of salt and they filled in where the corner was damaged. V'lo mipnei shekashal avoda. Not because when you have salt in the corner, it now becomes kosher for service. Elish lo yiram mizbeach pagum. But that the mizbeach shouldn't look damaged. And why would it be damaged? Why is it no good for service? Shakom mizbeach shein lo keren. Because any Mizbeach that doesn't have the corner in the right spot, in the right shape, the kevesh, or a ramp, or a yesod, or a bottom base, viribua, or squared, pasul is no good. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, afasovev, not only does it need the very bottom base, it also needs the middle base. Now why would he say it needs the middle ledge? Because he interprets that, he says that that's karkov. You see, the Karkov is a total requirement because it says Karkov HaMizbeach. So therefore, according to the view that Karkov is the drawings, that would also be an absolute requirement. Tanur Rabbanu lived in a braisa. Ezeu karkov. What about the protrusion on the top of the mizbeach? Where is the protrusion on the top of the mizbeach? So the braisa says, Bein Karen lemakom hiluch rag bein Karen lekaren, between corner and corner, makom hiluch ragle a kohanim ama, space for the kohanim to walk by feet. There was an ama of a protrusion. In other words, there was an ama deep. They cut off from the floor of the mizbeach. An ama, so that when the kohanim are walking, there's a little bit of a ledge that they don't fall off. It was an ama deeper. One second. Atu kohanim ben keren lekeren avu azia, the kohanim walking between corner and corner. Then as they walk, they hit a corner. That doesn't work. So the Gemara says there was another ama next to the corner and corner. Both between corner and corner, and the ama next to it were an ama deep. That's a protrusion. That's a karkov on the top of the mizbeach. La'ema, you have to say there's been keren lekeren plus umakom hiluch raglia kohanim ama, and a place for the kohanim to walk in ama. This was a charitz. This was a ditch, sort of like a ditch. This is an indentation. So there's really two amos that are indented with a little ledge by each edge. There's a ledge here, and there's a ledge here to make sure that they don't fall off, was to help them in walking on the Mizbeach. Asks the Gemara, how could we say that the Karkov is on the top of the Mizbeach all around? But we've been saying till now that the Karkov is the Sovev, or it's the drawings on the middle of the Mizbeach. The Karkov's on the middle of the Mizbeach. The verse says, "Vayaslan mizbeach michbar masa reshes nechoshes tachas karkuvo milamata ad chetzio," that he made for the mizbeach the net of copper, which is the which was the equivalent of the chutas sikra under the karkuvo, which is towards the middle. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Trei Havu. The word karkuv means protrusion. So there are two protrusions. There's a protrusion out and a protrusion in. In the middle of the Mizbeach, there was like this thing sticking out, which was either the Sovev, it was the ledge that they would walk around, or it was something painted. Those are the two opinions. And on the top of the Mizbeach, there was an indentation. And that also, then, there's a difference between the indentation and what's on top of it. And that's the karkov on the top of the mizbeach. Chad l'noi, the one on the wall of the mizbeach was a protrusion for beauty. V'chad l'kohanim, and the other one was for the kohanim, to lo nishtarku, that they shouldn't slip and fall. By having a little bit of a deeper place for them to walk, with a little bit of a ledge on the two sides, it was two amos wide, plus a little bit up there, to prevent them from falling as they walk around the Mizbeach. Okay, now talking about, again, what we need in the Mizbeach. Midas Arko, how long it was, or Midas Rachbo, or how wide it is, or Midas Komaso, or how tall it is, Ein Ma'akvin. That's not an absolute requirement. It could be smaller. Amar Rabbi Mani. Reb Mani explained, however, but it can't be smaller than the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu made. V'kama, how large was Moshe's Mizbeach? That's strange that they would ask that. I mean, it's a pasuk. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Amma. It's an Amma squared. Machkule, so people started to mock it. What do you mean, Rav Yosef, the Mizbeach of Moshe is an Amma squared? Chamesh amos orech, v'chamesh amos rochav, ravua yiyam mizbeach. The pasuk says, five amos long, five amos wide, squared shall be the mizbeach. It's 5 by 5. It's not 1 by 1. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye, the student of Rav Yosef, said, Tilma makom arocha kamamar. Maybe my teacher is talking about the place for the fire, because remember, It's five amos by five amos. But then you have an amma of the corner. So that's an amma by amma. Then you have another amma for the ledge, for the walking area. And both of those are indented. So that's on one side. Let's say that's on the north. Then on the other side, on the south, you also have an amma and an amma. So you take away two amos and two amos on each side. You're left with, in the middle, only an amma by an amma. So maybe you mean for the fires, there's an amma by an amma. Amar lei, Rav Yosef said to Abaye, Mar de gavur rabahu, you're a great man. Yada mai kamina, you understand what I'm saying. Kari alayhu, Rav Yosef said, what about those other people who were laughing at me that thought that I didn't understand a pasuk? So those people, they're Jews by birth, but they're not Jews by action. They don't know any Torah. They're Bnei Keturah. They're like the children of Keturah. Keturah was the wife of Avram Avinu.
Jainot is Jewish name, Jewish by name only.
Okay, something like that. Bnei Keturah. And the Ben Ish Chai explains why call them Bnei Keturah if he wants to, you know, sort of give them a dig to encourage them to learn more Torah, because the word Keturah is from the word Kashur. Katur is Kashur. So like, it's their mouths are tied. They don't have what to say. So another story where, again, this prod was used. B'nei Afted Rebbe Tarfon, the sons of the sister of Rebbe Tarfon, have we asked to come in Rebbe Tarfon? They were sitting in front of Rebbe Tarfon. They were not scholars. So their uncle gave them a little dig. Pasach v'amar, so he said to them, V'yosef Avram, the verse says, and Avram continued, v'yikach ish, and he took a wife, u'shma Yochni. Her name was Yochni. Amalia, they said, hey, Rebbe, our uncle, her name wasn't Yochni, her name was Keturah Ksiv. They said, yeah, Kari Aleihem B'nei Keturah. He said, you're like the children of Keturah. That you don't know much. All you know is a pasuk. You don't know to interpret psukim. You don't know Torah Shebaal Peh. You're Jainos. You're Jews by birth, but you're all tied up. You don't have what to add to the conversation in the yeshiva. All right, that was an aside. Now we get into the pieces of wood that were put on the Mizbeach. Amar Abaye Bar Huna, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya. Rav Abaye the son of Huna said in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Gezirin Sha'asa Moshe, the logs of wood that Moshe made to put on the outer Mizbeach, or Kan Amma, they were an Amma long, Rochban Amma, they were an Amma wide, but Ovyan, their height, was kemachak, was like this utensil that's used to smooth out the top of a measuring cup. Kemachak godesh sa, like when you have a measuring cup that holds a sa, and you need like this little leveler, right? The height of that was the height of these pieces of wood. That's what Abaye said. Amr Rabbi Yirmiya said, when you say it's an amma, it's really less than an amma. But amma geduma, we're talking about a midget amma. Because remember, right, the whole area was an amma by an amma. So he says if you're going to fill up that whole amma with wood, it might go into the area where the Kohanim are walking. So it should actually be a little bit less than an amma. Amr Rabbi Yosef disagreed with Rabbi Yirmiya. He said, no, v'lav haim at the time, wasn't this the brisa? The Braisa says, "Varchu bnei Aron haKohanim asanasachim." They're preparing the pieces, esharosh, esapader, alo etzim, asher ala eish, on the wood that is on the fire, asher ala mizbeach, which is on the altar, which is to tell you, shelo yehu etzim yotzim in amizbeach klum, that the wood shouldn't go out of where it's supposed to go, shouldn't go out of the fire, but it should fill the fire area. So it was an exact amma. And not as you're saying, a midget amma. All right, now talking about the ramp. Tanan Asa, we learned in a Mishnah, Kevesh Haya Lidromo Shel Mizbeach. The ramp was on the south of the Mizbeach, and Orech Shloshim Ushtayim, it was 32 amos long, Al Rochav Sheish Esrei, and 16 amos wide. Minani Mili, how do we know this? That it's on the south. Maybe it's on the north. I'm Ravuna. Ravuna explained. The verse says, "V'shachar oso, and you're to slaughter the ola al yerech hamizbeach, literally on the thigh of the mizbeach. Yerech is thigh; it's like the foot. We translate it as the side, but literally it's the thigh. Safona, which is the north. So that means if you have somebody laying down." So if he's laying down like this, so his feet are in the north, and his head is down in the south. So it says that the north, the place of the slaughtering of the Ola, is the thigh, that's the feet. So he's laying down, that means that his face is in the south. And we know that the ramp is called the face of the Mizbeach. So we know that the ramp is in the south. The thigh, the legs are in the north. Upanav, and the face, Badarm is in the south. So the Gemara says, well, why do you say that? Ema yerech batzafon. Maybe the thigh is in the north. Upanav batzafon, and his face is in the north, because maybe he's not lying down. Maybe he's sitting up. Amar Rava. Rava said, Rami gavra ape. No, the verse is referring to a man laying down. Amar Leah Abaya. Abaya said, Avarad. Maybe not. Tritzva Osef Gavra. Maybe it's a man who's sitting up. Amar Leah. So Rava said to Abaye, Ravu Aksiv. The verse says, Vasisa Samizbeach Hatzei Shitim Chamesh Amos Orech V'Chamesh Amos Rochav Ravua Yiyah Mizbeach. It says that the Mizbeach should be Ravua. Ravua in Aramaic means laying down. So the fact that the Torah used the word ravua is also the hint of the word in Aramaic, which means laying down. So Gemara said, what do you mean? That's not why we have ravua. The word ravua is it's to say that the Mizbeach has to be squared. So Gemara says, if the point was to tell me that the Mizbeach should be squared, miksiv meruba, it wouldn't say the word ravua, it would say meruba. That it said ravua is to teach me that it's like a man laying down, because in Aramaic ravua means laying down. Litzameich, I don't understand. According to your logic, miksiv ravutz doesn't say laying down; it says ravua. Amarle, so Rava said to Abai, no, ravua ksiv. Hashem uses the word ravua, which means squared, and it means laying down. And why didn't he use meruba, which would have meant only squared, or ravutz to mean only laying down? The mashmahachi, because Hashem wants to teach us both lessons. Both that the Mizbeach should be squared, and that the Mizbeach is like a man laying down. The northern part is like the feet, and the ramp is like the face and head. So that's source number one, how we know that the ramp was in the south. Source number two. V'tana maisi lo mahacha, the Tana of the Braisa, this was his source, that the ramp is in the south. The Tanu Lintin of Bryce Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, it says about the Mizbeach, Uma'alo Sehu, that which leads up to it, namely the ramp, Pinos Kadim, is turning, enables turns to the east, which is to say like this, Kol Pino Shata Pone, whatever you turn, we know you have to turn to the right, Lo Yehu El Derech Yamin, and here it's saying that it's going to take you, when you turn to the right to the east, that must mean that the ramp is the south. So the Gemara says, but who says you turn to the right? Maybe the ramp is in the north, and you're turning to the east because you're turning to the left. And small lemizrach, you turn to the left to get to the east. Lo salkadaitach, no, you always have to turn to the right. The Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel taught. The verse says about Shlomo HaMelech's above ground immersion pool, his above ground mikvah, the Yam Shel Shlomo. Yam Shasa Shlomo, this pool that Shlomo made, Omed al Shneim Esrei Bakar, was standing on 12 statues of cattle. Shlosha Ponim Tzafona, three are turning to the north. Shlosha Ponim Yama, three are turning to the west. Shlosha Ponim Negba, three are turning to the south. Shlosha Ponim Mizracha, and three are turning to the east. So why does it keep using the word Ponim? It's to tell you, Shekolpino Shatapona, whenever you turn, Lo Yehu El Aderech Yamin, it's always to the right. And therefore, when it says that the ramp leads you to a turn to the east, it's that the ramp is in the south. When you turn to the right, Derech Yamin leMizrach, right away you get to the east. So Gemara said, 1 second, Ahumi Boile leGufei. Maybe that pasuk is just telling you how Shlomo HaMelech's above ground basin appeared, what it looked like, not to tell you about the law of turning. So Gemara says, no, Ponim, Ponim Lamali. Why does it keep saying turning, turning? It's to say that you always need to turn to the right. Shal Rav Shimon ben Bar Yosi ben Lukunya es Rabbi Yosi. Omer Ayah Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Does Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai say, Avir Yesh ben Keves Lamizbeach, that there's a little bit of air between the ramp and the altar? Amar Los Rabbi Yosi said, of course. Va'at Yat Omer Kane. Don't you also know that there was a little bit of air between the ramp and the altar? Valok Farnama, the verse says, Valsiso lo secha, do your olos habasar vehadam. The meat, and which gets thrown into the fire, and the blood. So there's a linkage between meat and blood. So madam bizrika, just like the blood is thrown, afbasar bizrika, so too the meat is thrown. And just like you throw, you have to throw them. So you're throwing them over an airspace that is over floor. Amar Los Reb Shimon Bar Yosi said back, no, ani omer omid betzad ma'aracha v'zorik. That just means that you stand next to the fires and throw the meat into the fires. Amar Lo, so Reb Yosi said, no, hishu zorik, when he's throwing the meat, the ma'aracha dluko zorik, is he throwing it to a lit fire, or the ma'aracha shena dluko zorik, or to a fire that's not lit? Have you omer l'ma'arachat luko zorik? Of course, he has to throw it into a fire that is already lit. So, why? Hasam yishim delo efsher. So I don't need a pasuk to tell me that you have to throw it into a fire. Obviously, you're throwing it into the fire. So must be that he's standing on the ramp, and he's throwing it over a little bit of airspace. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue at this point tomorrow. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi Omer, Retzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, Lefichach Hirblem Torah, Mitzvah Shneimad Nechafetz Lamad Tzidko, Yagdil Teravi Adir.